Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is enough of madness. 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 Me and Mugen on the hall. So welcome everyone to the Mouth of Manliness with me as normal. This is another lockdown episode on Zoom. But I'm very, very happy to have Mugen Gleave with us. Now, for anyone who hasn't, if you listened to the other 52 episodes, you would have heard us mention Mugen from time to time.
Once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. It's been like an inspiring character. I think from my point of view, like, I saw you as someone who's like, you know, you're fucking keep going, you know, like you keep going and you're
doing
things you want to do and like it'd be like skateboarding or artwork or anything and like that kind of stuff just inspires me.
Excellent. Well, likewise, mate, you know, the fact that you guys got this off the ground is inspiring stuff. When you started the show, long story short, I had a job last year working in healthcare, wanted to do something to make a change. It was completely the wrong thing for me to do. And I ended up having a massive breakdown and your show came along at the perfect time. Because I started sitting downstairs and I started working on comics and stuff like that. And I would listen to you guys while I was doing it. And I'd be cracking up, I'd be laughing, and it would just be like, this is brilliant. So, you know, it just went from there, really, you know?
We've been in touch quite a bit over the last year, really. And
And then
it just kind of clicked to me, and I was like, because I talked about getting you on before, I know, but then it was like, and then all of this crap happening in lockdown, it's just open up loads of doors by talking through your computer that were there already.
This is it. I mean, this is how this year has changed massively, just from people reaching out online. You know, that's how I've got work this year. It's just been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing.
Just to give a bit of context then, so you do like cartoon artwork. You kind of blend in a lot of stuff to do with skateboarding as well. Because if you check Mugen Gleave out on Instagram, you'll see him doing like chicks and skateboards and that. And I love that. I couldn't help myself. obviously, I saw your artwork and it was like, and it's nice just to connect to another artist.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And then just like, what, the past few months, it just seems to have really blown up for you. And I was just so pleased for you.
No, mate, it's bizarre because obviously we've been chatting online about stuff. I mean, you've been doing, your stuff is really taking off. But yeah, this year has been crazy. We were just talking about like the lockdown thing. And for me, lockdown's not really impacted that much. If anything, I'm busier now than I was before, you know. But yeah, going back, almost, it's bizarre. Literally, beginning of the year, first week in January, it all kicked off. And I'd submitted some artwork to a skateboard company I really like. It's an English guy who's now based in California. And I love his stuff. And I just sent him a thing. And then he contacted me. He says, look, I'm premiering video in LA. Could you send me the artwork so I can show it at the premiere? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that was like, and that snowballed. But in the same week, the 77, this anthology I'm now in, the first one's just come off. They contacted me through Twitter and said, we really like your work. Would you be interested in doing a script? We had it online. Sent me some scripts. We just clicked and lo and behold, bang. Yeah. Published.
Yeah, published.
You know what it's being an artist yourself. You know what it's like to actually get yourself like in print, in published. You know, that's being published. It's like huge. And then with the skateboarding stuff, I started skating again properly this year. And this guy Tom, who runs a skate school, I think he's in Essex or Surrey. He's in your neck of the woods, anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it's a skate school predominantly for kids, and it's about sort of social empowerment and sort of like having assertiveness, and mental health is a massive part of what he does. But he just contacted me, and it was all in the first week of Jan. He just contacted me and said, look, we love your artwork, would you do our logo for us? And that snowballed again. And it's just, you know, I've now done their logos, t-shirts, I've got my first deck comes out in California in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah. So for like a little, for a kid who grew up skateboarding in the 80s,
yeah,
to suddenly have, this guy said, look, dude, would you do a deck for us? I'm like, yeah. And this is how this year's been. It just keeps, it just kept snowballing, and projects are just coming up left, right, and centre. My wife's writing stories, which I'm now illustrating. So we're working on that together. We're hopefully going to get our first one out. If I can get my finger out next month,
yeah,
it's down to me to do the artwork. And comics is just snowballing. Like I say, 77 came out this week. From that, I'm most likely going to be a regular contributor. And then I got offered another solo project this week. So,
doing skateboards, that's something I'd really like to do. I did one for a mate recently, with Mullen written on it. And he wants to see if he can get in touch with Mullen to try and auction it for charity, for like a mental health charity and a cancer charity. And I'm like, I read Mullen's book and I was blown away by it.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, again, we chatted about Rodney. He's phenomenal. He's an amazing guy.
So tell us a bit about, before this year then, mental health wise then, when did you start having mental health problems?
Gosh, probably about 25 years ago. It's when it sort of really kind of blew up.
So how old would you have been there, just so I could get a timeline?
About 26, 27.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned 50 last year, so, long story short, I met my first wife while I was at university, and she lived in Surrey, and I moved down to Surrey, and I got my first job down there. And a couple of months after I'd moved is when I had my first breakdown. And I think a lot of it was the stress of I'd just finished uni, I'd just graduated, moved to a new area, got married. shitloads of stuff happened. Yeah. And I remember riding home from work, and it was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and I literally rode home from work and just crawled into bed and just went to sleep. Because my then wife worked in a hospital. So she came in about 8:30 and said, "What are you doing in bed?" And it's like, I was just in floods. I just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And it was weird. I had a week off. I went to the doctor. I had a session of counselling. They put me on some tablets to help me sleep. And I was kind of okay after that. Yeah. And then it's really been, for me, the real change probably has been over the last, I don't know, sort of three or four years. It's just over 3 years since my mum died. Mm. And we and my mum were really close. Both my parents were really creative, so we were encouraged to be creative and stuff. And mum had dementia, and it happened quite quickly as well. And it was weird. When she died, it was kind of a nice thing because it was letting go because she wasn't suffering anymore. Yeah. But it really came and hit me like a ton of bricks about a year later. And I just lost it. Just completely lost it. I was in floods of tears all the time. I was really, really low, sleeping way too much and stuff like that. And yeah, I started having counselling. I started taking antidepressants. Started doing stuff. And being creative, that was bizarre because being creative was usually my happy place.
Yeah.
You're probably the same. You know, if you're drawing, you know you're okay.
Yeah, I'm not thinking too much if I'm drawing.
Yeah.
Kind of
It's kind of weird for me. It's sort of like it's like my wife says, she knows if I'm all right. If I'm drawing, I'm okay. Yeah. But I had about almost 2 years where I hardly drew anything at all. It just got completely and utterly sucked out. And it wasn't until I was sort of recovering last year that I really started drawing again. I sort of made a point. I cleared the table downstairs, and I actually made a point of sitting downstairs at a table and drawing for at least a couple of hours a day. Right. And it just sort of snowballed from there, you know, and it has. Last year was shit, basically. It was really, really hard. The way things have gone this year, yes, I am still, I'm definitely struggling. I got diagnosed with bipolar, which actually made a lot of sense.
Normally people, if they're going to have a mental illness, they're going to get it in their kind of early to mid 20s. And I would have thought if you were diagnosed with bipolar, that would kind of come out then.
Mm,
mm. Gone away for a bit and then come back.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been, shall we say, a little bit like OCD, a bit on the spectrum. I'm very sort of quiet. I can see things quite black and white. But with my art, I'm a serious perfectionist when it comes to my artwork and almost everything I do. And that's been there almost for as long as I can remember. I've always been like that with my artwork. So I think there's been some kind of mental health thing probably throughout my whole life. But it wasn't until, till I got to about 26, 27, and my whole life kind of changed, that it kind of really sort of blew up. And it's...
Have you ever, my son's autistic, and I notice traits in myself quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I quite easily go to shit if there's big changes and things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you need your things, you need everything in place and to feel comfortable. And if you haven't got that, it's really, really stressful.
Like, absolutely. I get that out of holiday. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had that literally over the last couple of today. My mother-in-law's in hospital at the moment. She's, 86, lives down in Essex. She got went into hospital a couple of weeks ago, and we had a phone. I had a phone call from the doctor this morning, and she's quite ill. They're kind of okay with her, but her mental faculties and stuff like that. So we've had today has actually been quite stressful. It's been really stressful, and it's my mood today has really been up and down kind of all day, you know.
This is like in the nicest possible way, it's hugely disruptive. And it throws out the mood of the house, and just the whole equilibrium kind of goes out the window. And I find that quite difficult. Like,
yeah.
I know a lot of the time I cause that with my illness, but I find it quite hard to cope with in others.
I completely get that, Nick. The last couple of, because Linda and I are working on this book together, she's written it, I'm drawing it, and we have a difficult working relationship, you know. We are fans of each other's stuff. She loves my art, I love her writing, but it's kind of difficult for us to work together. And yeah, so we've had a couple of interesting conversations over the last couple of days. But yeah, I know a lot of it is down to me having to be a certain way. You know, it's very, I can be quite blinkered, you know? If my equilibrium gets disrupted, then yeah, I can be a bit of a bear with a sore head, to say the least.
It's quite an artistic thing though, I think, as well. Like, I think it's quite common in artists, like, you know, it's quite common for artists. Like, there's a romanticism around, like, the tortured artist. I don't like the idea of romanticism around mental health, but when you're in the middle of it, there's something quite nice about like disappearing into bed and giving in, you know, your dark days do that a bit, don't they? It's really strange.
I get that, and it's like I said, the last couple of days have been interesting, and I have been very up and down. And I think, I mean, like last week, because like the 77 launched last week, we had an online convention on Saturday, which was brilliant. So we did a Zoom thing on Saturday with like contributors and fans and stuff like that. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been right up. I've been on a real height. So literally the last couple of days have been coming right back down again. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, I get that. In fairness, yeah. I get that. I get really excited about things, like stuff to do with the podcast recently. I've had a few weeks just hammering it and achieving. And then I'll have a down day and then I feel really fucking miserable. And it's like, why? Like, just remember how good that was. And just it'll happen again. But you do, don't you? When you've worked hard for something, it does well. And then you have a slump. And it's so annoying because you should be feeling really good, but it's weird, you just don't.
I know, it is so strange. It's like I keep having my daily walk down to our local, we've got a little co-op in the village, so we go down and get supplies like every day, and I just walk down with my backpack, and it's like, and I talk to myself when I'm walking down there, and I go, do you know what, says, look, things are going really well, you've just been published, you've just been picked up for another comic, people are loving your skateboard stuff. Is the last video I put up has had nearly 2,000 views.
I know, I did,
and I'm like, you know, that to me, the skating thing is really bizarre. Art, I can kind of get it because that's what I do. I don't know if you feel the same, but art is something I can do quite effortlessly.
Yeah.
You know, I just, that's my thing. I can do that. Skating is something I have to really, really try at. It's taken me 50 years to get any good at it. So to actually get sort of praise for stuff like that, for something that I've really, really worked at, it's weird. It's very weird.
I think you don't see a lot of older guys skating around that much unless they're pros.
And
I think there's a bit in everyone who we would like to be you know, when they're a bit older, they're cool like you, still skating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit of that, and I think people are like hang on to that kind of idea and feeling. And I think that's all that really matters. It's kind of inspiring. It's like, well, he's doing it, so I can do it. You know,
absolutely, yeah.
And it's like, it's a real basic little kind of urge, but like that's what I felt when I saw your skate videos. Like, good on him. Because I always, I'm lanky and I'm awkward. I can't skate. I always wanted to. Yeah. I used to try. But I fell off and hurt myself and I had to go to hospital and I never really got back on. And but there's always been, I've always, when I watch people who skate, especially people who, I kind of prefer it when they're doing like long runs and doing like bowls and that kind of thing. And I watch it and I find it like really amazing. You just think it looks like, you know, like almost like, you know, gravity doesn't matter and it's...
It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, obviously, I watch skating stuff pretty much every day. And like, I mean, my thing is since I got hooked on freestyle last year,
yeah,
and something just went click. I just found my thing.
Yeah,
and the way it's changed is since I got involved with Tic Tac at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
it's just gone through the roof. My skating is pretty good now.
Oh, good. When you started, you'd like pretty much just get on it.
Absolutely.
Pretty much got on it, and now you're like, you're doing tricks.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's come on, it's really nice to see.
Yeah.
So let's just go back to, so you got diagnosed with bipolar.
Yeah,
I'm just interested to. So, did you have, we had Sam and Simon on before talking about bipolar, innit?
Yeah.
Very much the kind of the euphoric highs where reason has gone out the window to the crushing lows.
Yeah.
Did you experience that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, mine are probably, I don't know, the last couple of weeks have been weird because we've been, you know, getting towards the launch of the comic and all this sort of stuff. And there's just been bucket loads of stuff going on. So I've actually been quite high. It's interesting. I have a little app on my phone where I record sort of my extremes of highs and lows.
Okay.
And like looking at my graph for the last couple of weeks, it's been like really high.
Right.
Literally for 2 weeks, I've almost been flying for like 2 weeks. So I'm kind of not surprised over the last couple of days. I've not been as good. But yeah, it does. I do tend to get those really highs and lows. It was, I think I'd slumped for a long time. Last year was horrible. I spent a lot of time sleeping. I really struggled with getting up. I had a lot of problems with like IBS as well, flared up because of my mental health.
Yeah.
So I would literally spend almost like all day in bed because I'd be in pain. So I was sort of really, but yeah, I do get, they are a bit more balanced now, but I do still get very, very high and quite. It's like Saturday. I should have been really excited because it was the official launch of the comic. So I should have been, you know, brilliant. 12 o'clock that day, a couple of hours before choose to go online, I'm in floods. I'm in absolute floods. I was beside myself. I thought, I can't do this. You know, and sometimes it will be within a day. I'll literally flip between one and the other, you know. So
how do you manage that then?
Luckily, Linda's brilliant. She's so cool. She's been through a lot. I mean, in a way, she's had it far worse than I have. She's brilliant. She has looked after me so well. And she's kind of... it was like on Saturday, she said, like, have a really good cry, let it out. You know, I think part of my problem was for a long time, and I don't know if you'd had the same thing, was that because you're a man, you're supposed to bottle things up.
Yeah, that's why the podcast is...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, what good advice, though? Just cry.
Yeah, just let it out. Absolutely. So, you know, for a good 5 minutes, I was just beside myself. I was sobbing. I was in a right old state. And then I stopped and then I went, do you know what? I just went and made myself a cup of tea. I calmed down. And she said, look, you're going to do something really nice this afternoon. You're doing something really, you're going to really enjoy. We can have something nice for dinner and all the rest of it. And it was cool after that. So she has been absolutely brilliant. She's been my absolute rock. You know, it was her all the years we've been together, gosh, nearly 18 years now. And it was her idea for me to go self-employed in the first place. You know, beforehand, I'd always been a jobbing designer. You know, I did comics as a bit of a hobby, but yeah. She said, why don't you do it for yourself? And I was like, oh, I can't do that. She said, why not? And she got me to do it, you know, so, yeah.
So did you have, like, periods where you had fuck all money then? You must have.
Still do, mate.
Well, that's what I mean. Sometimes yeah. I think you've got to put your intentions out into the world and you make an effort and, like, you hone your craft. Mm-hmm. And then people start to notice. And my mum always says it's winter babies. She goes, winter babies, like, they always have their life is better when they're older. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that, but, like, there might be some truth in it because I'm better than I've ever been, really.
Do you know, I certainly feel, since it's weird. I had this weird, really bizarre thing. I mean, again, this is part of my black and white thinking that I'd always had. I kind of thought I'd get to 40 and I wouldn't be riding BMX or mountain bikes or anything like that. I'd be doing 50. I'm skating more than I've ever skated. I'm making music. I've won skate competitions now. I'm getting published. I'm making more art than I've ever made. And my art now is shit hot. I'm really happy with where my art is now. And it's like, you know, so yeah, literally since I turned 50 last year, something's clicked. And it just feels right, you know?
It's amazing.
It's
the same kind of with me, really. I think, you know, like you were saying about, did you struggle when you were, like, jobbing before because of, like, you know, like, you have to fit into whatever the mould of everyone else, don't you? You go to an office, you have to kind of fit into the mould. And when you're not that kind of person, like me, mm-hmm. That's actually really stressful, you know? Like,
I've always been a weirdo. I've always been an outsider. I keep coming back to this black and white thing. But, like, it's sort of like I'd really get fixated on something. Like, start when I started at college, when I was, like, 18, I was listening to, like, the Smiths and stuff like that, and I was quite straight-laced. And, like, by the end of my first year, I had long hair, I had a leather jacket, I was listening to Metallica. And it's like I completely turned around. But I think when I went to college, I became myself.
Yeah.
You know.
A bit more myself. Although I still had crippling mental health problems and hated myself, I started to, you know, like, just you let off. Like, you tend to be around people who are like you because you do this is something that you like.
Yeah.
You end up being more yourself. And I pretty much, it's weird, I've said it before, I pretty much wear the same, not the same, but the same sort of clothes virtually as I did when I was 18. Still wear Converse trainers, Levi jeans and the band t-shirt, and that's pretty much what I've worn.
Linda's not so quite so keen on how this is me, you know, a skate shirt and jeans and trainers. And I feel myself like this. Linda likes me to be a little bit more well-dressed. And I do like dressing up from time to time, but I feel way more myself with a nice shirt, and a nice T-shirt and stuff like that. And, and the hair and the beard and stuff like that. I feel, again, at the moment, I feel more myself than I have done for a really, really long time.
Don't you think, though, you know, like, when things start to go well for you and mm-hmm. well for you on your terms, as in, like they like my artwork. I'm not really being told what to do. They're my terms. And then you start thinking, well, like I can just be myself, like being myself. If I dress this way and I behave this way, it's actually starting to fucking work. People are starting to realise.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Yeah. Like you're probably going through it at the same time as me. Like doing the podcast was like the first time I actually started just being honest, being myself. It's like, oh, people quite like that. Yeah. I wish I knew that when I was a teenager.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, when you are a teen, I mean, like I say, when I was at college, I was quite square, really, when I started. And then I just fell in with the heavy metal crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just sort of like, I'm lucky, I grew up, like, with Jimi Hendrix and all this sort of, heavy metal was already part of my psyche. But it wasn't just quite my thing. And then all of a sudden, and because I got into skating and metal just went hand in hand. You know, so it's sort of like, so I suddenly just started discovering bands like Suicidal Tendencies and The Stupids and stuff like that. And it's like, bloody hell, this is brilliant. I love this. And it's, I was much more myself. I mean, it was nice. I was part of a group and it was nice to sort of fit in, but I was still myself within that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I had my little toolbox, and on one side it had Stupids, and on the other side it had Jimi Hendrix. My mates were like, you can't do that. I said, why not? You know, it's...
Heavy guitar.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
No, they're not that far removed, come on.
No, too...
But you know what, when I think back now, though, I was, musically... like a college in that, like, oh no, they're shit, you can't like them, they're shit, and you can't like this, that's shit, and they'll sell out and that. And now I find myself, I quite like Pearl Jam. I never used to like them. And then you just realise that actually all that pretense is just bullshit. Like, why? Why?
But yeah, I mean, I've learnt. Linda, again, Linda has been brilliant. She has helped me grow so much as a person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it's like with, I mean, my art is art and comics. Comics is what is my heart, is my blood, you know, that's what it's my default setting.
Yeah.
But it was Linda saying, well, you're really good at it, why aren't you doing it? And it was like, oh, I don't know. Because you had that, I was still quite young and I still had that doubt there. And like with music, it was like, I mean, Linda's a huge Elvis fan. And I was kind of like, yeah, Elvis, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you don't have to try very hard to really dig Elvis, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it was like, I can remember, it was New Year's Eve. I think it was our first New Year's Eve together. We were decorating our bedroom. So we literally, we'd had to get a takeaway because the restaurants and everything were closed. But we sat there and the 68 comeback special came on.
Yeah.
But
New
it was
Eve. Oh, fucking hell. I remember watching that on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. But it was the bit where they're all sitting around and it's just Elvis with a guitar and his band and they were just jamming.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Linda and going, Elvis can really play. Yeah. You know, you knew he could sing because you can hear he could sing, but it was like he was just there bashing away on his guitar and I'm just like, what? You know, and I sort of think then a little bit was certainly musically. Now I just kind of listen to what I want to listen to, you know.
I listen to all the same stuff that I used to listen to when I was 18, pretty much. There's a few that have trickled through. But most of the stuff I listen to is like CDs that I bought when I was like in the early 90s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you got diagnosed then, how did you feel about that?
I actually felt quite good. It made sense of a lot of stuff for me. It made sense of the fact that I would have highs and lows, and it come back to the black and white thing. You know, it was because you do have this sort of quite rigid way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I'd done a little bit of reading and a bit of research because I'd already been having some counselling and stuff like that. And I think I was already on antidepressants. I've been on antidepressants quite a long time. So I'd done a bit of reading. So, and by this point, I've started studying to be a counsellor as well. I've got 3 years behind me of counselling.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, not long before I got my diagnosis, I'd literally just finished the first year of my diploma. So I was halfway to getting qualified as a counsellor. My tutor actually turned around and said, you know what? I said, I think you need to have a bit of a break. Because even though I was meeting my targets and getting assignments in and stuff, she could see it was hard for me.
Mm.
And so I did actually take some time out. And I didn't go back to do the second year. There's a little bit of me. It's shrunk over the years. But there is a little bit of me which would still really, really like to do. I'd still like to get qualified.
Yeah,
I'd like to do it alongside what I'm doing now, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. I mean, my job often involves kind of drawing out like painful things from people to understand their behaviour, and I'm quite good at. I always figure I'm such a mess myself that I can't let anything else in. But I could see how that could work completely the other way.
Yeah,
and it could be really, really difficult. I could see maybe, you know, it might be a bit too much.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was bizarre. I mean, when I started doing my counselling stuff, they sort of suggested it so I could be a bit more assertive, because it's like, because I used to work in an FE college, and you'd have all these...
FE college?
Further Education College. Uh-huh. So these you would look at, students were predominantly say 16 to 19, and you'd have loads of lads going around, and it was like, do as I say, not as I do, and you'd have them all yawping around being lads, and I'd be like, and I can't, noise is a big thing for me. If there's too much noise, my brain sort of locks up and I can't think properly.
Right.
And I'd be sitting in my little office, my little media office, and I could hear all this noise from the other side of the library, and I'd sort of storming out and lay them, and they said, you need to do some assertiveness training because you can't just keep going out and yawping at them to shut up sort of thing. So that's kind of where I started it. But then I did the first like 10-week course, and one of my tutors says, you need to do this because you're so natural as a counsellor, because you have to do like trio work, so you practice your counsellor skills. And they just said, you are so natural, and there's so few male counsellors as well.
Yeah.
That I had to do it. So I followed it through, and I really, really enjoyed it. I've always been kind of, psychology's always been a bit of a pet subject for me.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
My
psychology
degree, and I did psychology in my degree, and it's fascinating. It's all kind of, once you've got a little bit of an understanding of it, you don't need to have a big understanding to start to understand the people around you a bit.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, and it is bizarre. I mean, you probably feel it the same way because I have learned, because I've done, you know, I've done courses, but because I've had counselling and stuff like that, I understand why I'm behaving the way I'm behaving.
Yeah.
But you still can't stop it. It's bizarre, you know. It's really bizarre that, you know.
It is strange, isn't it? It's like the understanding is really helpful. Because then you can kind of try and bend the world a bit to make it easier for you. So you do things and you try and work somewhere where it fits you, and you try, and the stuff you do in life you try and make fit. But then, but at the end of the day, like, you know, you've got to make money. You've got to do all these, you know, like, life just still happens and you can't actually do it.
Yeah.
That's been one of my big problems, really, is I can't make everything fit around me.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I took on the healthcare job a couple of years ago, because I got myself into such a state because our finances were not good. Because with Linda's health, I mean, she can't work either. She has really serious mental health problems, so she can't work. And I was just like, shit, we've got to pay the bills. And I was getting in a really bad way. And it was making me feel worse. It was causing me massive anxiety. So I took on this job. And because I wanted to, because it was kind of, It was an immense, it's in a brain injuries hospital.
Right.
Brilliant. Literally, I mean, I had to laugh my first day on the ward. I had to change some 67-year-old guy's nappy because he'd shat himself. And I was like, okay, but I just got on with it and I just did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, a couple of months in, my brain just went, you know what, you're not cut out for this.
I know, and you've got all that, you know, like the pressure to be a man, you know, like, well, I'm the man though, and my wife's not well.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to hold it. Like when my wife had cancer, it was like, oh, my wife's not good. So now I've got to, like, I can't falter, you know, you can't just fall apart. And like that, I managed to keep that up for about a year and then dived. You know, like you said with your mum, like you were okay for a while and then you just...
Yeah, died. Absolutely.
But you know...
Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, kind of my last year in proper... When I was still working at the college, Linda had... We've had a lot of trouble. My mum was really ill with dementia. Linda's mum's been really ill with more physical stuff.
Yeah.
And she needed a lot of support. And Linda spent a lot of time with her mum. She actually lived with her for a couple of months to try and sort things out. But there's a lot of shit from the past. And it turned out to be... It was really nasty. And it ended up with Linda having a huge breakdown. And she was kind of bedridden for like 6 months to a year.
Fucking
yeah. And... It was bizarre. And I... Looking back on it, I don't know how I did it because I was looking after her, making sure she was fed, making sure she was clean. She had clean clothes and all this sort of stuff. Going to work, doing like a 9-to-5, coming home, making sure she was okay, then checking up that my mum was okay. And then doing my own thing as well. And that was like for a whole year.
Yeah.
You know, and it was...
Because there's no other choice. You know, like, I think your brain just goes into... you know, like the fight or flight.
Yeah.
I introduced to third. So fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
Some people just freeze and give in. But like when you're like that, you're just running and running and running. But inevitably, you come crashing down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that year, it was. I mean, it was bizarre. I was fine. I felt absolutely fine. I just did it. You know, I looked after Linda. I made sure Mum was okay. Luckily, we had some really good care for my mum. But then she got so bad that she had to go into a home, which kind of took a lot away from us. We didn't have to do quite so much, you know, because I was literally having to drive over to my mum's house. It's only half an hour away, but it's like an extra half an hour to drive to make sure she had an evening meal, then come home and then make sure we were okay, make sure Linda had been fed, and you know. And yeah, it's weird thinking about it now. I just did it. Didn't even think about it. I just did it. I was all right. I was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it wasn't until probably say a couple of years later where, and I can remember it. I was at work. I was still at the college. And I went to go to the loo and I just sat down in the loo. I just burst into floods of tears. Just completely lost it. And I just walked up to my manager and says, look, I'm really sorry. Says, I'm going to have to go home. I just can't cope at the moment. And I was off for at least 3 months. At least.
Yeah.
And then I went back and over the last 3 to 4 years, it really has sort of yo-yoed. At the moment, I'm in a pretty good place.
Yeah.
Again, I think, I mean, you know, because we've been chatting a lot online and stuff. The way things have gone for me this year, it's dream come true time for me.
No, it's like, can you believe it? But it's funny, I think once you get a sniff of that, and then you start thinking, well, why not me? And I think because you're in that mindset where, yeah, this could happen, and why can't it happen if I do put the work in, and then things keep happening,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think there's, you know, it's part, and it makes you feel better about yourself.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, really, at the end of last year, I started pushing. I'd done a couple of comics which were more geared towards sort of like the business side of things. So it was helping people in business, like with networking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The business cat stuff. Yeah, you remember that? And then they kind of took off, but didn't quite take off. But then that led me to think, she said, you know what, actually doing comics is something I can actually do quite well. And I started doing more static stuff. And I did put a lot more effort into putting work online and being on social media, like showing up every day kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's where that first crazy week in January kind of all came from. It literally all came from social media. From, you know, literally going up there and saying, right, do you know what? I'm going to put up three pieces of artwork every day. I'm going to make sure I reply to people's comments and stuff like that. And it paid off. And I think from that, it has, yeah, just, it's just kept going, you know. It's,
yeah, it does work. And it it's also a testament to it not being a negative thing, because everyone's always slagging off social media. And I'm like, I've talked to all these new people, you know, like I'm making friends with artists and things like that. And like, you know, I'm talking
absolutely
to people now. It's like, as long as you're not letting it rule you.
Yeah.
And you're not looking at everyone and thinking, oh, I don't look as good, etc. That's bullshit anyway, then it's a really good thing.
I think so as well. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like the way, for me, it's like the art community I'm now part of. There's a comics community I'm part of, and they're brilliant. They are so supportive. The group, the 77 group, the guy who wrote my strip that I did, he's a legend. He's been so good to me. He's been pushing for me to get into every issue. He's sending me more scripts. He's making sure I get paid. He's bought some of the artwork from me. Admittedly, he bought it because it's the story he wrote, but I've actually sold original artwork now.
Yeah, exactly.
I've sold
artwork, and like, that's the best thing in the world.
For you, last year, when you were like with Eddie Temple Morris and everything, and that happened, I was so made up for you.
I know, it was nice though, because, yeah, and then I think we started to do a lot better at a similar kind of time, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And then
yeah,
you could see the difference in output, and then also, yeah, like even with you, like, you're refining your style. Like, your use of colours changed a lot, I've noticed. And even, like, the smoother use of colour, you know, like, you'll have blends behind a picture, yeah, and it's kind of smoothed out, and,
yeah,
like, and it's really, really sharp, and more detailed, I think, in many ways.
I think so as well. It's interesting. It's like the strip for the 77 was a big challenge, because it's set in the times of the Crusades, and I've never really done like, and I did, because for me this is like my calling card, you know. The people that have got in, you're aware of 2000 AD, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, 2000 AD, when I was a kid, that was the thing. And if you could get into 2000 AD, you'd made it.
Yeah.
When I had my initial conversation with Dave, my writer, and he told me about some of the people that were involved in the project, and I'm like, bloody hell, these are, like, my heroes. You know, like, Ian Gibson and Mike McMahon and stuff like that. And I'm just like, fuck, I'm going to be in the same magazine as these guys. This is like, so I knew what I did had to be really, really special. So I poured in. I've done so much research. I was doing picture research. I redrew pages and stuff like that. I'd literally pencil a page, send it over to Dave and say, what do you think to this? Is this good? Da, 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 all that kind of thing. And it was really, and I pushed myself really, really hard on that. And I've been doing, I think, to be honest, I've been doing that a lot more. I mean, like you say, yeah, the way my art has changed. And I do think, even though I knew, like, last year, you know, I saw, like, this time last year, I knew the stuff I was doing was good, but I kind of knew it could be better. And it's like now I'm doing stuff and it, yeah, it just kind of flows. It's, you know,
when it flows, it's going well, isn't it? Because it feels
yeah, absolutely, good. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It's really great because, like, basically, you were kind of diagnosed with bipolar, and that a lot of people are like, "Fuck it,
yeah,
you know, I give up." And you've been through loads of other adversity, but you've kind of punching through it.
Yeah, punching through it,
and you're making your own little universe.
And I think
that's just amazing, isn't it? Like, that's as good as it gets.
It is really, and again, I mean, it's. I kind of think who I was talking to. I might have just been talking to Linda yesterday, and I just said, you know, my favourite word in the whole. My favourite word is happy. There's just something about that word, to be happy is sort of like starting the pinnacle of human achievement.
That's a big pinnacle to get to.
It's huge. But the thing is, I mean, I felt unhappy for such a long time because there was the stuff with my mum and Linda's mum, and Linda was ill, and then I was ill and stuff like that. I had a huge blow up with my dad last year, and just loads of shit happened. But now I can genuinely say that at some point every day, I can genuinely say I feel happy every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy with how my art's going. I'm happy with how my skating's going. We've said, because obviously we've been chatting, but yeah, the way things are right now, for somebody who... yeah, could have just put themselves on the scrap heap. I'm way more accepting now of my mental health. I rallied against. I mean, this is something that Linda's been absolutely brilliant about. It's like going back to the Saturday thing, and like, while I was crying, she said, "Just let it out." And she'd said to me, like, because I think I'd rallied against being ill for such a long time, because I had this sort of real perfectionist within me. Mm. And I'd rallied against being ill for so long. I was fighting against it, and it was making it worse. And
they probably go hand in hand. Like, the perfectionist is probably part of the illness.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you say, you're probably the same yourself, Nick, but like, and again, with my art, when you draw something, if you look at it, you go, "Oh, that's shit, that's no good." And you just want to screw it up and throw it away.
Yeah.
I did it, you know, I was talking to Dave over the weekend because we had the launch and stuff, but he's been giving me some more stories to work on. And I did a sketch for one of them last night, and I looked at it and went, yeah, it's all right, but it's not right. And then inspiration just hit. You probably get the same thing. Inspiration hit at about midnight last night. Mm. It's like, shit, do I get up and draw now?
Yeah. I can wake the dog up.
We are
coming to the hour.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do was wanted to go back to something you just said.
Yeah.
About the idea of, you know, just to kind of impart some knowledge. But, you know, you said something which I think is really, really relevant and important. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, accepting it and not railing against it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. What are you doing?
I'm losing you.
Oh, you're breaking up. I can still see me, okay? You there?
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
I went back on. Sorry, everyone. I don't edit anything, so you get what you get.
Lovely technical hitches.
Yeah.
I guess a big thing, I mean... It goes back to listening to you, you know, listening to you guys. When you started Mouth of Manliness last year, And it was brilliant because you were just being open and you were just talking about stuff and being open and honest about things. And yeah, you know, we said earlier, not being a man. It's okay to feel stuff. It's okay to feel weak and fragile and not good. And not, I think for quite a long time, I sort of kind of saw that as a bit of a failure. We said a couple of minutes ago about sort of like, I think you said like when your wife was ill and everything, and you sort of like, you had to be like a man and you had to provide and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You had to, you weren't allowed to show sort of almost like any weakness.
Yeah.
And
problem.
Yeah. But sort of coming to terms with it all and accepting it and just and accepting that, I mean, it's like with the, you know, when I got diagnosed, it wasn't like, oh shit, I've got bipolar. It was like, oh shit, I've got bipolar. And it made a lot of sense to me. A lot of things clicked. And it sort of, that made it a lot easier to understand. And yeah, and just basically stop having a go at yourself all the time. I mean, I have to laugh. Because me and Linda do this all the time. We're as bad as each other because we both have our struggles with mental health, and we will both sit there and have a go at each other. And then I'll turn around to Linda and say, what do you always say to me? Don't have a go at yourself. And,
I have similar conversations with my wife, actually.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'll remind her of things she tells me sometimes. I think, acceptance is so important. You just go, it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to work with it. And if you work against it, you get more ill. So you've got to try and work with it in some way and accept it.
Yeah.
And know that it's not, like, you know, you have good days and bad days. The best of us do, don't we? And it's like not kind of thinking, oh, like I don't go, oh, I've had a bad day, that's it, this month's fucked. Like, I don't do that anymore. I'm just like, it might be a bit better later on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we literally had that over the last couple of days because we're working, the major projects I've got on now is working on Linda's book. But the last couple of days, we've had a few things because of our finances, we've had to do a lot of phone calls and stuff like that. Because of Linda's anxiety, I have to do a lot more of the admin kind of, you know, that takes it out of you. You'll feel quite knackered afterwards. Today has also been a difficult day because of having a long conversation with the doctor about my mother-in-law, and she's going to say, and being a bit worried because she is, well, you know, she's old, she is ill, and it's a bit worrying. I have still done some drawing, I have played music, I have skateboarded, I have done some cooking and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. So I have done the normal stuff as well. I've done the nice things as well, even though it's been quite a difficult day, you know.
I liked what you said earlier about, like, there'll be something that you're happy with. You know, like, that is also a really lovely bit of advice. Like, everything, there'll be something you're happy with. Somewhere along the line, it might just be, oh, that song you like came on the radio, and then you grab hold of it and you go, this is great. And that's what I try and do now, and it really helps. It just takes you out of that kind of negative mindset, which invariably just leads you down that horrible hole being ill.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, my anxiety, even, you know, leading up to getting that job a couple of years ago, because I was so anxious about our finances, I was making myself ill, and I jumped in and did something I shouldn't have done, taking on that job.
Yeah.
And my anxiety last year, I was really, I still am quite anxious about our finances, but kind of now, because I am much more accepting, and because things, financially, it's not brilliant, but it's not terrible. And because of the way things are going, things are going to change. Things are changing, you know. So it's kind of, it's interesting. I mentioned that the little mood thing I use every day, and it It has four things. It's like most depressed state, most elevated state, and then anxiety and irritability. And you tick, and you have like sort of low to high on each of those. And it's been interesting to see over the last, certainly over the last couple of weeks, my anxiety and irritability have been right down.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Considering you have been, even just, you know, like I can't do art to order. And like, if anyone says to me, oh, can you do, like a few people once in a while go, oh, I'm doing a record, can you do me a cover? And I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you have to have what I give you or don't have it, you know?
Yeah.
And the minute anyone says, oh, can you do this? I properly go to pieces and my anxiety goes through the roof and I can't bear it. And it's funny because you're doing like the most kind of, like career making artwork at the point, but your anxiety was all right.
Yeah, it's absolutely,
It shows that you're doing the right stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's kind of nice because, I mean, you've probably found with your art over the years, I think, like, when I was, say, 16, 17, and I was really into, I was buying comics every weekend, and I'd be drawing, like, Batman and Wolverine and all this sort of stuff, and I did some posters for my local comic shop because I knew the guys really well. And I did, my stuff was kind of quite a lot more stereotypical Marvel, DC kind of stuff to how it is now.
Yeah, now it's like your own thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know,
you find your own little niche, and then and actually everyone is, they're looking for someone who's got their own style, aren't they?
I got, there's been reviews for the 77 coming in this week because we launched kind of on Monday, and if the copies have been going out, and I got compared to one of my friends. I don't know if you've heard of an artist called Mark Hempel. He's an American cartoonist who I've loved I picked up on him in the 80s. He's got a lovely, slightly cartoony style, and I've always liked his stuff. I got compared to him in a review, and that was like,
this is brilliant.
Oh my bloody hell! I turned around to Linda and says, based on like him. It's like, yeah, you know.
You're smashing it. It's so great to see. And I just think, you know, for people listening, there's hope. Like, there's hope out there. There's chances, and there's chances to do great things.
Yes.
But all the time you sit on your hands and do nothing, then nothing happens. So you just do like small things each day.
Yeah.
And that's how you kind of get out of the hole, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like you said earlier on about not beating yourself up. Like, especially if you've got a diagnosed mental health problem, you can do things about it, but the problem is there.
Yeah.
So, like, why are you going to, you wouldn't beat yourself up, if you had like a physical deformity, like, you know, it's like, I've got it, I can either kick or swim. So, obviously people who have physical deformities do beat themselves up. But you know what I mean? Once you accept it and then you stop having a go at yourself because you get it wrong because of your illness, it's like, that was one of the big changes for me. It was like, no, I'm not going to be sorry. I can't help it. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Tough to you, not tough to me. I've always going through it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. You just said about the comparison between like, one of the comparisons a lot of people with mental health, the mental health thing is like, oh, you've got a broken arm, so you can see you've got something wrong. Because quite often with mental health, I can put across as being confident and assertive and positive and all the rest of it. But inside, I'm like, bloody hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Same, yeah.
You know, so.
And it's like, you try living with it, then you'll see the disability.
Absolutely, it can
take you out completely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to round up, mate.
Okay, mate.
I like to keep them to an hour I've got rid of the alarm.
I tell you what, I was thinking about that earlier. I was expecting the alarm, so.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I just thought, I don't really want it anymore. Like, I just...
Well,
I can see the time, and I'm like, yeah. What I don't want to do is edit anything, so I don't. So I try and keep it to the hour, and then yeah. I don't edit anything out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, Morgan, it's been so great finally getting to talk to you.
Nice, yeah. Life,
and you're just as lovely as I knew you would be.
Likewise.
Oh, thank it's, you yeah. very much. Oh, we'll have to talk again. No, just
yeah, right, definitely. Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Morgan. Thank you for your constant
well.
Inspiration. Where do people check you out if they want to check you out?
Social media is probably the easiest thing at the moment. Just look for Morgan Gleave, Gleave, on all channels. Instagram's kind of my main thing.
Yeah, mine.
I kind of put everything on there. But yeah, just use my name. Is how to find me. I'm on most of the platforms, and I'm sharing art and music and skateboarding and basically being an idiot.
Name is Wade.
My own glorious way.
Thanks, mate.
All right, mate. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.